55. Okay, so we've been at 53 the past couple weeks, and then today we did hit a high number of 55. Was that our high for the year? And so we're very thankful for what the Lord did, and even had a couple young people come forward today. I counseled one man and one young man who got assurance of his salvation. He had tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, he just was burdened. I basically brought a challenge about the gift of eternal life. And he said, you know, I just want to make sure I have it. And so, you know, we talked about it, and he had indeed trusted Christ as his Savior, but he just did not have the assurance that he wanted. And because I told the kids, you can't enjoy Christmas without the gift of salvation. You could have all the wonderful gifts in the world, and you'll probably get some good gifts, but nothing will compare to the gift of eternal life. And the young people responded well. So thank you for that. And we fed them some pizza, and that was exciting to see little 4 and 5 year olds gobble down Little Caesar's pizza. It's pretty entertaining, but they enjoyed it, and so did we. And I just want to take this time too to just publicly thank our Good News Club team. They have just done a phenomenal job. Brother Daniel has led the club. And I've just kind of come alongside and helped where I could with Brother Daniel. And he's done a good job. And all the workers have just plugged in and chipped away. And I just want to publicly say how thankful I am for each of them. This year, we had several that would come and sub. But the ones that were there pretty much every time were, we had Daniel, Timothy, Ben Swafford, J.J. Busey, Ansley Busey, Megan Hayes, Becky Heiss, Kay Reynolds, Carrie Stringer. We had Amanda and Amanda Jemanski and Jessica Nero. I'm trying to think who else. Did I miss anybody, y'all, that's been there pretty much every time? Who did I forget? You were pointing at somebody, Amanda. I said Kay. Yeah, but thank you for reminding me. Yeah, Miss Kay. And then, of course, we Christian. And we got Christian, Ricky, Miss Andrea. Miss Andrea has usually heads up the snacks, brings that in, and that's a job in itself. Those kids come in hungry, let me tell you. So getting those kids in and having clubs, and so I think that was everybody that I can remember. But praise the Lord. If you're interested in getting involved in that ministry, we can always use the help. We're always looking for some that can come alongside, even for good crowd control, because when you have 55 children and you have 10 workers, you know, you're spread sort of thin. But it's a good, if you got a little few more people, they can be, you know, ministering and talking to the young people and even getting involved with the responsibilities. So if you'd be praying about that, perhaps next year you'll have that opportunity. And we're just praising God for that open door and just rejoicing in God's goodness. We'll say this too, maybe I'll mention more afterwards. Got a few prayer requests around that. We'll be sending out letters to all our Good News Club parents. And I think we had a total of 70 enrolled. 74. So we had a total of 74 enrolled for the semester. We'll be sending a letter to all the parents, and they will get a letter from our church just expressing our gratitude for letting their children come and participate in the after-school program. We want to also invite them at the same time to our Christmas Eve service and also our New Year's Eve, and mention our winter revival coming up, and just be able to put that invitation out there. And I think I've already talked to a dad earlier today, and he sounded that he was interested in coming out. So pray for those letters. I'll mention that again. We'll be praying as they go out here in the coming week, and trust the Lord will bless that. Well, if you want to take your Bibles and go to the book of James with me, the book of James. The book of James, we'll go to James chapter 4. And tonight's subject continues from last week on the subject of revival. The subject of revival. James chapter 4. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful. Again, we rejoice tonight in the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. Father, we're thankful for your church, and we're grateful to be here tonight. Lord, you know this subject of revival. Many Christians talk about this subject, and Lord, we don't want to make it difficult because we know you don't make it difficult. It's actually very simple, Lord, to understand. But Lord, it is another story to do it. And that's what we need, Lord. We just need the do it spirit and pray you to help us with that, to just do exactly what you ask of us. Thank you for those that have come tonight. Pray you'd encourage their hearts. And Lord, I am praying that you would prepare us for this upcoming winter revival. And we ask that you would truly have your will and way in our church. And Lord, we need it. We do need it. I need it. I need it, Father. Please help us now as we look to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I got to talk with Aaron Coffey today, and we talked for about a half hour just praising the Lord. And he was just telling me about his ministry, his testimony, how God had worked in their lives and brought them to where they are. Of course, I gave him our history, bringing us here. But I can already tell the Lord is preparing our hearts, knitting our hearts together. He'll be bringing a team of about eight team members. It'd be Aaron Coffey and his wife, and they will be bringing a travel trailer and also another couple that has a focus on teenagers and the youth department. He will help with that. They will be coming, maybe staying here as well, and they're trailing. And then they have four other teammates, two single ladies and two single guys that are, I think, pretty much graduated from college and just full-time staff members there on the team, helping out with the music side of things. And they're just right now sort of in a rest mode there in Taylor, South Carolina, but they are making preparations. They'll be at one church the first week of January, and then they'll be coming here the 14th of January. And he's excited about coming. We already got some neat plans in store. And I told him, I said, "Brother Aaron, I said, we're going to do our best to be prepared for you coming." You know, as an evangelist comes, and I saw this when I traveled in evangelism one summer, you know, it makes a world of a difference when churches prepare for a revival meeting. You know, there is that church that you basically show up and it's almost like you get it from the pastor. "Oh, yeah, yeah. So I forgot about it. So glad you guys are here this week, you know. Oh, ready to get at it now and have a good week." And you're like, "Yeah, oh boy, this is going to be a long week." But you know, there, and then you would go to that church and you would meet that pastor, and boy, he would be smiling from ear to ear, and he would just be like, "Brother, we've been praying. We've been seeking the Lord for the past month or two. We've been having prayer meetings. We've been inviting people. We've been praying over people. We've been asking God to search our own hearts." And what happened, the success of that meeting was just totally different. Because what happened is we went in and their hearts were already prepared. And I told Brother Aaron that. I said, "Brother, it is my desire as the pastor." And I said, "It's going to start with me. It's going to start with me. But I want, when you guys come as your team, I want the sails to be set. And when you come in, that we will just be so prepared and our hearts will be so prepared that you'll have liberty." Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes an evangelist has to come in and prime the pump for about 2 or 3 days and try to get the church where they're focused, and then they got about 2 days left in the meeting. But boy, if he can come up on Sunday morning and we're ready to go with our hearts before the Lord and seeking God to bring us a revival, that is what I told him we will seek to do. And he said, "Praise the Lord." He appreciates that very much. So I'll be giving you more details on that family. We're going to need some help. We're going to probably have some sign-ups for meals, some maybe accommodations for the singles, and also an opportunity to be an encouragement to them. They're not asking a whole lot. They're not asking for 3 meals a day. I think he's just saying to make it easier on them to keep a routine in us. It was going to just be 1 meal a day they would ask if we wanted to, and he encouraged it so we can get to know them. And so I'll be getting you the details on that, of course. But you know what? Let's just pray that God would help us with this winter revival, that it would indeed be a great stepping stone in the life of our church, because we need to grow. Now, yes, numerically, but more than anything, folks, we need to grow spiritually. And that's what revival will do. Now, you'll remember, there are two views on revival out there among our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's that one that says, you know what? Revival only comes when God so chooses to send it. He's a sovereign God. You can pray all you want, you can do all you want, but God will send revival when He's ready. In that case, there's really no preparations, if you will. But then there's the other view that I take, and that if you believe the New Testament, I believe you would have to agree, even with Pastor James here, that he's saying there's a time to prepare, and God will work. As we prepare our hearts and allow the Lord to work in our life. And what is revival? It is a bringing back to life. Lifting up, as we'll read here in a minute, is bringing back to normal Christianity. And we talked about the synonyms for revival. Tonight, I want to look at one. We may look at a few more in the weeks ahead, but tonight I want to look at one specifically found in verse number six, and we'll read through 7 and 8. But let me start with 1, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. I love that verse. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. I like that. He's saying, therefore, since God is gracious, and God is ready to pardon, and God is ready to give mercy, He's saying, therefore, come unto the Lord. And look what He says here. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We definitely don't want him anywhere around. Draw nigh to God, in verse 8, and He will draw nigh to you. That is a revival verse for sure. Listen to what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now, when I read some of this language of James, boy, I think we'd all have to admit and say, wow, this brother wasn't holding any punches. He was bringing it to this church, and he was hitting them hard. It's some very strong language here, and when you start calling people adulterers and adulteresses and starting to really just say, look, you've made friends with the world, and boy, he's just going at them. But you know, you would get kind of doom and gloom when he starts saying, now listen, you just need to be afflicted. You need to mourn. You know, he's talking about all these things, but you know what? What he's trying to get them to do? He's trying to get them to be revived. He's trying to get them to revive, and I believe this is what Pastor James has done, and this is what we have to do as our responsibility. He was trying to get them to realize where they had died. He was exposing some areas in their church where they died, where they were lacking. I don't want to go through all this tonight and preach on a Wednesday night, but I will give an overview. There was first of all, James dealt with this church, and they were fighting with each other. They didn't like each other. There was jealousy. There was envy. There was bitterness. And James basically said, what is going on with these wars and these fightings among the body?
He said, what is going on? And he talked about basically how they were fighting with each other. There was some serious disagreements, evidently, where they had started turning against each other. Now, let me ask you this. Can that happen here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church? Sure. Does it exist in some form? Sure. I'm sure it does. And that's where I talked about last week when I said, look, we got to be real honest before the Lord if we expect God to do a work of revival. We have to come before Him with open hearts and just be humble. Now, when you think of this, you think of people, you know, maybe jumping across the aisles and drop kicking each other and slapping each other upside the head or swinging from lamps in here and a big brawl taking out WWE up in the creek, you know, but that's not what it is. It's more of an inward fighting. It's behind the scenes. It's when certain groups are together and they're bad-mouthing each other and bad-mouthing this group or this family or this person. And it's a war. It's a war. And James is saying, listen, you got to realize that. And we need to realize that it can very well exist here. And the Lord can heal us of that. But there was a fighting with each other. And then secondly, there was a flirting with the world. Flirting with the world. Now, you see there because he goes on to say, look, you're fighting amongst each other. You don't even want to pray and ask God to heal you. And when you do, you're praying for your own lust. And then he goes on to say, and not only are you fighting with each other, but you're flirting with the world. Now, what is he talking about now? Well, I believe he's simply talking about a group here of believers that had a tendency to want the world. They wanted both. You know what I mean? They wanted to perhaps have some of the Lord some of the time, but then have the world the other time. That is an adulterer. That is somebody, basically, that you could just say it like this. They were cheating on God. And basically they were saying here, James was telling them, you can't expect God to bless you when you're flirting with the world. Now there's a big difference. Christians ought to want to win the world to Christ. We should be out seeking them actively and being among them and showing them the love of Christ. But the problem is, Christians, instead of winning the world, they want the world. They want the ways of the world and the absence of spiritual discernment and loving Christ with all their hearts, and they end up flirting with the world. You know, things that we know of for sure all are surrounded by worldliness every day. And we find it in forms of entertainment. I am burdened about the entertainment world out there and how anti-God it truly is. I believe, listen, can I just say this? I'm being kind, but I just want to tell you, just want to advise you. If you ever watch something that uses the Lord's name in vain, you ought to turn it off. Don't even make any exceptions. If they blaspheme God openly, that right there is an indication where, oh, turn that off. It's a blaspheme against God. And if I'm going to embrace that philosophy and embrace that attitude where, hey, well, you know, you can blaspheme God, it'd be all right. No, my dear friends, you have to take a stand against that type of worldliness. And a lot of times we want to get lenient and allow it to creep in. And you know, James talked about it in the first of all, you know, what is it to be unspotted of the world? Well, it's to love the widows. It's to be religion undefiled. It's to love widows, to love the fatherless, and to be unspotted from the world. And by the way, it does start off with spots, and then it leads to a full relationship with the world. And it begins with flirting. You know, I'll be honest with you. I flirted with my wife before I married her. Why? Because I wanted to win her. I wanted a relationship with her and wanted her to marry me. And my wife, she's probably blushing right now, but I'm telling you what, she played hard to get. Man, I'll tell you what, I still laugh about that, but now I look back and thank God for it, because it showed me where her heart was. But she, you know, there was one time, she's going to really blush now. There was one time where I wanted to, before we got married, before we got serious engaged, I thought I would like to call her babe. She wasn't hearing of it. I said, come on, we just, you know, we're getting serious. You can call me hun or babe. And she's like, mm-mm. Like, man, hard to get. I know I'm going to hear about this later, but anyway. But I'm thankful. But, you know, I'd flirt with her and you know, I wanted a relationship with my sweet wife. I did want to marry her. I was very attracted to her. But you know what? We cannot do that sort of thing with the world. Because what that shows is that you want the world. You maybe want some of God, but you want the world too. And the Bible is clear. It says, look, you're going to just be an enemy of God, even as a child of God. Now, I can't get my mind wrapped around that, but the Bible says it, so I believe it, that I can be a child of God, but yet be at enmity with Him, to be at war with Him. And I don't know about you, but I think if we were all honest in here, who in the world wants to be at war with Almighty God? Who wants to be at war with Him? Especially His children. So they were flirting with the world, and he's gonna talk about something else. And this can be in every church as well. We talked a little bit about this last week. But then there's the idea of they were finding fault with everybody except themselves. They were fault finders. And folks, that's just as wicked as flirting with the world. To walk around with a condemning spirit and finding fault with this individual and finding fault with his own business. You know, this person, you know what, he's going to go ahead and say here. He says it right here in the beginning. He says, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He goes on to say, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? You know what I believe James was saying here? He was saying, church, you folks need to learn to mind your own business. You're busybodies. You want to get, well, what's this person doing? Or what's that person doing? Hey, That's a good way to quench the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's nothing here that would insinuate, of course, because we know it would conflict Scripture. God wants us to be discerning people. That's the idea of judgment, is the spirit of discernment, to be able to see good and evil. But the fact of judging the brethren on these little things in their life or whoever's life, and James is saying, knock it off. Stop that foolishness and get your heart before the Lord and let God find your faults and get your life right. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time keeping up with myself, much less another brother and sister in Christ. Y'all agree to that? Amen. I mean, if you think about all the areas that God is dealing with you right now and you need to get in line, you're going to think a whole less about what everybody else needs to be doing. And James is telling this church here, you've gotten distracted. You're all about speaking evil of one another and judging one another. And James says, knock it off. And we will too, will if we obey Scripture. But then the other thing here, coming to a close, he says, not only were they fighting with each other and flirting with the world and finding fault with everyone, but then they forgot about the shortness of life. It picks up there in verse number 13, and he goes to a different subject. He goes to procrastination. He says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And he, of course, then he goes on to say, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know what he was saying here, church? You know what just happened? Is you have forgotten about the shortness of life. And if we're not careful, right here in good old Athens, Georgia, good old Jackson County, right here, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, we can forget about the shortness of life. That today is the day we have that God has given us. Today is the day that this may be the last message I preach as the pastor of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. God may take me out of here tonight. God could take me out of here right during this message. And then the same applies to every one of us. We can't go through life thinking, well, I'll get right with God one day. And folks, that's what, when it comes right down to revival, it's us getting honest before the Lord and saying, Lord, I ain't going to put this off no more. I'm going to open up. And that's what we do as a church. We realize we do have faults. We do have weaknesses. We do have crippled areas in our church. Can everybody do this with me so I know you're with me? And what God wants to do is God wants to bring healing to that. And He will bring it through, of course, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But I believe when the evangelist comes, God will use him. And I will tell you my philosophy. And I told Brother Aaron tonight, I said, Brother, I don't tell you any of the needs of our church. I ask you to preach what God puts on your heart. And I'm praying for you. And that is my philosophy. Because when he comes in here and starts preaching the Word of God, nobody will be able to point the finger at pastor and say, you've been talking to pastor, haven't you? No. I don't talk to the evangelists about the needs of our church or the problems of our people. I just say, brother, you preach what God puts on your heart, because that's exactly what we're going to need. And so I told Brother Aaron, you just bring it, brother. I'm praying for you. But they forgot about the shortness of life. And if we're not careful, we'll get into a habit of saying, well, we really don't need revival that bad. You know, we got some time to go through this. Some of you young people here, I encourage you. It is a temptation in your years to say, well, I got plenty of time to be sold out for God. And no, you don't. You don't know what holds for tomorrow. You know, you say, dear God, we need you now. And we don't go through life. And this is what James closes it up with. And this is what I'll close with. He said in verse 17, therefore, because you've heard all that I've said to you, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? So let's don't do that, church. Let's get before the Lord and make sure we're right with each other. Let's make sure our hearts are tender and loving towards one another. Let's make sure we're praying for one another and praying for revival, not just upon our own lust. Let's don't flirt with the world and excuse the world's blasphemous actions against a holy and righteous God. We must not excuse that. We must look at them. Of course, they're lost, and that's natural for them, but we must look at it as blasphemous and not take part of it, but to be a testimony. And then we got to get away from getting caught up and picking out everybody's faults. I believe revival will take place if everybody in this church just focused on themselves. Amen? I'm going to start doing a brother camp. Amen, preacher! When y'all, just by the way, when y'all say amen, and I'm not trying to force amens, but when I hear amens or head nods, that communicates to me that you're agreeing. Thank you, Jeremiah. I'm glad somebody's with me. But honestly, we're coming to the Lord and asking Him to do this. We see these things that James is talking about. And let's close with this right here. Go back. James dealt with some hard things, but this is what he was going for. Look with me there I'll read verse number six. But he giveth more grace. God's going to give grace. But he resisteth the proud, those that refuse to admit their guilt or their need for revival. And he goes on to say in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. But if we draw nigh to the Lord, we're going to have to open up before the Lord. And then verse 10, look what he says. Humble yourselves. Get low. Get open. Get real. Get honest. in the sight of the Lord. And what does that next phrase say in verse 10? And he...
There's revival. There's revival. He will lift us up. We have come before the Lord with humbleness and saying, God, here's some areas that our local body needs help. And we're begging you, Lord, let us know what it is and we're going to confess it. We're going to let you cleanse us. And dear God, we're going to be lifted up. God's going to lift His church up. And there's going to be life in our church. And there's going to be life in our evangelizing. And there's going to be life in our services. And there's going to be life in our homes as we come to God and come to Him with open hearts and let Him deal with us. He says, I will lift you up. Do we believe this promise? I believe we do. And we're going to take it to the Lord by faith. Saying, God, we're going to get honest. And we need to be honest. I'm going to, in the coming days, I'll give you some things that we can pray about specifically on as far as the team is concerned. But you know what I mentioned last week. As we pray tonight, remember these things, those that will be praying. Remember, we need God to revive us in our evangelism, in our discipleship, our complacency of no vision for growth, our legalism, elevating standards in an unbalanced way, making the outward image the emphasis rather than the inward work of the Holy Spirit of God. Mentoring our young people, spending time with them, loving them, helping them. Prayer life in the church, our prayer meetings, our love and adoration for the Savior. And these things that James mentioned tonight, we can make application to. You know, it's just getting honest before the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. And I trust that in the days ahead, we will see God bring forth a revival in our church. And it's going to be wonderful. And I praise His holy name for it even now. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. And then I'll give a few announcements. But let's pray while the Word of God is fresh on our hearts. I will encourage our young people here too. I know that when we pray all together at a long period of time, I know sometimes it can get tough to keep your mind disciplined and focus on the prayers that are being prayed. But please, I beg you, for the honor of the Lord God and to encourage and to honor each other, try not to speak to each other during prayer. Try not to giggle, snicker. It's not a time for that. When we leave this auditorium, we can let that go and have a sweet time of fellowship. But when we're praying, if you feel like you're going to be a distraction to your neighbor, just simply move. And we don't want to be a stumbling block to those that are praying. And we definitely don't want to be double-minded and just go for ourselves here, not the Lord. We want to go to the Lord. And we want to be reverent and respectful of each other. I know it can be difficult, even as an adult, to discipline our mind when other people are praying, but it is a good practice to get a hold of. And just want us to all be trying that. All right, well, let's pray and remember these things.